This week's Something Wild podcast is sponsored by Pelletieri Associates, an award-winning team of landscape architects celebrating over 30 years of land planning, fine gardening, masonry, poolscapes, and maintenance services throughout New England, and a proud supporter of NHPR.
So this is one of those few rare and special weeks in New Hampshire.
What do you mean?
Well, about 48 weeks of the year, New Hampshire landscape is pretty homogeneous. It's either a blanket of green leaves or it's stick season.
I know. From a distance, deciduous trees can all look similar most of the year.
Right, but during a few brief weeks in fall and in spring, trees show their true colors.
Oh, wait, and before we go any further, I should say, I'm Chris Martin from New Hampshire Audubon.
Yeah, and I'm Dave Anderson from the Forest Society.
New Englanders take pride in our brilliant fall foliage season, but our ephemeral spring foliage often passes without nearly as much fanfare or tourism.
Washington, D.C. has the right idea in my book. Every year, the spring foliage is celebrated during the annual Cherry Blossom Festival.
Gosh, you'd think, given the severity of our winters, we'd make a bit more fuss over those lovely spring colors.
Yeah, especially as, since you say they don't last very long.
Right. The tree flowers are only out for what, about a week, week and a half?
Well, that depends on where you live in New Hampshire. Right now, annual bud burst is either wrapping up or it's just kicking off.
Because, obviously, latitude affects where tree buds start popping. Trees in southern parts of the state flower and leaf out well before the northern part.
You can actually read nuances of the local landscape if you know what to look for.
Like what?
Well, tree flowers reveal what forest community you're looking at and even what type of soil is underneath.
You can tell all that just from the color of tree flowers?
Sure. Imagine, you're driving down Interstate 89 or 93 to Concord, and you see this incredible gauzy crimson wash in the valley. Those are red maple or silver maple flowers. They prefer river floodplains and valleys.
Those maples show you there's a wetland and rich wildlife habitat beneath. But New Hampshire is also characterized by rocky till smeared across the hillsides.
Right. When the last glacier melted, it washed and enriched soil into small pockets, and silt and sand washed all the way to the coastal plain, leaving behind compacted, dry, stony soil on the interior.
In the mountains, you see different colored tree flowers, lemon yellow and pale lime green, but not the leafy green of July.
The early tender leaves are almost neon green. Hmm. After months of looking at nothing but sticks, you almost need sunglasses to take in that green. The bright green are generally poplar leaves.
Which trees yield those other colors?
Well, green buds are often birches. You can see birch and beech and oak on the rocky, dry slopes that abound in the Granite State.
And I've seen a lot of yellow this time of year, too.
Yeah, the bright yellow flowers are sugar maples or those hanging streamers of oak stamens, the pollen-bearing parts of an otherwise inconspicuous flower.
What's amazing is that these tiny flowers are practically invisible, but put millions of them together on a hillside or in a river valley, and suddenly
the landscape seems awash in the soft, shimmering colors of spring.
And it looks different nearly every day. The same spot changes over the course of a week.
Drive through the notches in the mountains, and you can watch an ascending green line march up the hillsides as flowers drop off and leaves unfurl to create pools of shade.
And just like that, the season's over. It becomes a wall of green.
Yeah, but vestiges remain. Tree flowers pollinated by wind or insects bear fruit and seeds, acorns, beech nuts, tiny birch seeds.
And those little brown helicoptery things that paste themselves to my car.
Yeah, those are the winged maple samaras. Seed crops drive populations of wildlife species. The annual timing of bud bursts can also indicate changing environmental conditions.
And there are other knock-on effects. There can be phenology issues if climate change affects the timing of the flowers. So here's the question. What does it mean if birds returning from wintering grounds can't find their insects that they need amid the colorful tiny tree flowers?
Right. What if the buds burst early and then the insects are dormant, or if warblers come back just before a late season snowstorm?
I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I.
Well, if you have any questions that you don't know the answers to, we'll take a stab at it.
Yeah, no promises, though.
Send them our way at somethingwild@nhpr.org. I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Dave Anderson. Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR.
Oh, and those little brown helicoptery things that paste themselves to my to my car. Wait, let me say it.
To your car.
I mean, this is my best line of the whole thing. And those little brown helicoptery things that paste themselves to my car.
Right. Samara, Samara, I love you.
All right, moving along. Give it to him again, Chris.
All right.
Hey there, I'm Sam Evans Brown. If you like losing yourself in the wild, I think you'll like another one of NHPR's podcasts, Outside In. We explore the interaction between the natural world and the humans that use it. That's all of us, by the way. We've done stories about epic White Mountain trail crews, how human hormones are derived from soybeans, how to navigate the ocean without a compass, and sometimes we just talk weird bugs, stinky trees, and other cool stuff. Check out Outside In and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you download podcasts.